You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'm Patrick Ferris, and this is Dark Knight Blues. And before I begin, I'd like to thank all of you for pledging last week on the fundraiser show. Although we didn't get it across on the air, we actually did break our goal of $960. We made it to $980. So thank you all very much. And the station as a whole did the same, breaking its record of $65,000. We're actually at, I think, $67 at the moment. And if you missed out, you can still pledge online the rest of this week at kdvs.ucdavis.edu. Tonight, we have our much-awaited guest in studio, Mark Johnson from San Francisco. I met Mark at the Pacific Gap Folklore Center, which is a music shop that that Mark started. And we've been playing music together since. He was one of the artists recorded in the Golden Gate Musical Preservation Project that my friend Jake Faulkner and I endeavored upon last summer. And he's in studio tonight with us to talk a bit and play us some music. How you doing, Mark?
Howdy.
So, I figure, I mean, it's up to you, really. Would you like to play first or talk?
Well, let me play the song. I got one here, Mark.
Okay, what do you feel like playing?
This is an old Cisco Houston song. Let's see, how's it go? Come and gather all around me. Listen to my tale of woe. Got some good advice to give you. A lot of things you ought to know. Take a tip from one who's traveled. Never stop from rambling round. Cause once you get the Roman fever, you never want to settle down. You never want to settle down. Met a little girl in Frisco. Asked her if she'd be my wife. Told her I was tired of rambling. Want to settle down for life. Then I heard the whistle blowing. And I knew it was a red ball train. I left that girl beside the railroad and I never seen that gal again. Never saw the girl again. I traveled all over the country. I traveled everywhere. Been on every branch line railroad. I never paid a nickel fare. I've been from Maine to California, Canada to Mexico. I never tried to save my money. Now I got no place to go. Now I've got no place to go. So listen to a boomer story. Pay attention to what I say. I hear another train a-coming. I guess I'll be on my way. But if you want to do me a favor, when I lay me down and die, just dig my grave beside the railroad so I can hear the trains go by. So I can hear the trains go by.
Wow, thanks, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
So, speaking of that, I understand that you've traveled most of your life, and even from a young child, right? Tell me about that.
Yeah, well, actually, when I was a kid, you know, my father was in the Navy, so our family traveled, moved all around the country quite a bit. By the time I was 18, I'd already lived all over pretty well. And
where'd you live? Like, what sort of place?
Well, we lived on the West Coast, and we lived on the East Coast, West Coast, North Coast, South. Lived in Texas. I started school in Texas and finished high school in San Diego and spent a couple years in the Philippines. I mean, I felt that I traveled quite a bit, but after I left home in 18, then I really began traveling pretty seriously. I did a lot of hitchhiking back in those days. This is in the 60s, and you know, that kind of went on for about 20 years. It was a great golden age of hitchhiking. So many people might have heard about those days. It was pretty fun while it lasted. So, yeah, I like to go places. That was the old days. Now I'm a little older. Not to tell the truth, I don't really feel like going much anywhere.
And you tell me a bit about your tell the listeners a bit about your music shop in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, for a year I ran a little music store. It's closed now. I had a year's lease on it. It was more of an experiment than anything else. I'm a school teacher by profession, so I started this little shop to teach people to, you know, beginning guitar, and I sold inexpensive instruments there, and I started a recording project, which was pretty interesting. Actually, Patrick has played some of that recording before, and maybe we'll hear it a little bit tonight. I just started asking anybody if they would donate a song, and people would come in, and I mean, people I didn't even know, they just walked in off the street, and they'd look at me and like I was out of my mind, and they'd, huh, what, donate? Okay. And then they'd sit down and they'd play a song and got some really good stuff. It was quite interesting because a real cross-section of just whoever happened in. And that was, the shop was real fun, but
Yeah, what I said when I don't know if you heard the show, I guess it was probably last quarter. Yeah, it must have been where I played some of the first CD that Mark released from his recordings, that shop. I said it's sort of like Alan Lomax in reverse, you know, instead of going out in the fields and recording. You just open
That's
your door.
That's pretty and, well like, exactly yeah. what it was, and it really, the whole process actually surprised me. I didn't know what I was really getting in for. It just really blossomed up real nice, and, you know, for just miscellaneous people, got some real good music.
Well, you have more of them now, right? More CDs coming out.
Yeah, I've got one CD already published, and I'm in the process of getting four more, and they'll be out soon.
Yeah, and I'll put them on this show as soon as I get them, because it's pretty fascinating stuff what comes through there. You'd really be surprised how much diversity can come through one shop, and, you know.
Yeah, the store is a little bit out of the way. It's kind of halfway between Chinatown and Polk Street. I call it Pacific Gap Folklore Center, because the Pacific Avenue, it goes through between two hills there. I was on the Russian Hill side. Across the street is Knob Hill. So it's really a residential area. So the rent was cheap, but, you know, not a whole lot of business. But it's funny who stumbled through there. Patrick walked through one day, and that's how we met.
Tell me about your street singing, because you've been in that position yourself.
Well, I was a street singer for about 3 years. This was a number of years ago, back in the late 70s, early 80s. I played a lot in San Francisco, and about the other half of the time, I just hitchhiked around the country playing, you know, wherever. Some real small towns, believe it or not, and the typical cities and stuff. And I hitchhiked with a girlfriend quite a bit for a while. She played the dulcimer, and I would either play the guitar or auto harp. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a little bit thin sometimes, but we certainly had good music and lots of fun.
And, I don't know. I was interested in this, maybe, if you don't mind time. But some of the places you worked, you were telling me about working on the British Columbia Railroad.
Yeah. Like I say, I'm a school teacher now, and I've worked in San Francisco for over 20 years as a school teacher. But before that, I did have a bunch of miscellaneous jobs. Like, yeah, I worked on a couple of the railroad gangs in Canada. This is British Columbia. I worked in the Canadian Pacific and the Canadian National. You know, we worked in the track. We're on this relay gang. We had to take off the old track and put on these new big ribbon rails, quarter-mile-long rails. They'd have a big crane to pick up the rail and set it in place and all that. And so we did that. And I worked in a hard rock mine in Manitoba for a while. That was a fascinating job. I still have, not exactly nightmares, but it's kind of freaky when you go down underground. You know, they would cut out huge, huge areas of rock under the earth, 200 feet deep, and I don't know how long and huge, and it was completely black, and then they would fill it back up with the sand that was left over after they extracted the minerals, and it's pretty strange being underground like that. I wouldn't do it now, but I'm glad I did it then, because I saw what it was like.
You learned to street sing in Canada, isn't that right?
Yeah, actually. I met this guy's name, well, they call him Gypsy John. I knew him on the railroad, and he didn't have a guitar with me. We were working on the railroad gang, so he heard me playing guitar, and he was itching to get his hands on my guitar to play a few tunes. And so he was a pretty good guy. Played harmonica real well, straight harp. And then later on, I met him down in Vancouver. Actually, it was a song. We maybe just sing this. Be easier to sing the song, maybe, Patrick, than to tell a story.
Yeah, go for it.
Why don't you pull it up in the book there? I got a book song, my own song book here, 700 Miles of Curves, and it's in the book. I can remember most of it. It's always a little different anyhow. We're doing the key of D about Gypsy John. How's it go?
This one?
That's it. Well, the first time I met John, he was asking me about the words to a song. It was a ballad about two railroad bums and a railroad bull who lost his soul. Well, we worked together on a railroad gang. The work was a drag, but in the night we sang. We had people popping up in old-time songs about the things that did right, the things that did wrong. John would blow, I would strum, strike up a tune and the boys would hum. People popping up in the old time songs about the things that did right and the things that did wrong. John would take his harp, show us how to blow. He played Nova Scotia ballads like where the river Shannon flows. Raise up your voice, John, happy sand. Kicking, failing, stomping on the squid you can drown. Now, John would walking down the track with his first paycheck and his hat. He was gone just like that. He took his sack, but he never come back. Oh, John, where you gone? I don't know where, but I know you're gone. One down track. Oh, Johnny never quit, but he never come back. Then one day in van down on Hastings Street, who do you think that I happen to meet? There comes John, that's a fact. Not one, but two guitars over his back. He says, hey, Mark, I'll show you how it's done. He handed me a guitar and then he begun. Put a tin pan lid down on the ground. Started hammering out his folk song sounds. Yeah, busking on the street all night, making expenses just to keep us tight. Stand in front of a bar, make enough for a round. Go inside and we drink it down. That's how John played for street music. Yeah, sometimes we play with Paul and George. Paul saw the fiddle while George record. Until they got too drunk, it sounded so right. But you know, those guys just always had to fight. John pumped up his leg and showed us how to plow. Fast one's fast and the slow one's slow. Ah, the boy John played the songs and he played them good. Nobody could play harp the way John could. Now I asked John how he learned that thing. He said when he's a kid he'd blow and sing. People told him it sounded pretty good. So John played the harp because he thought he could. I saw John last fall. Had a bike and a fishing pole was all. Had a tent over in the woods. It was just a city park, but he said it was good. So when you're in van, sitting by the sand, be sure to say hi when you see the man with the blue bandana on a slouch black hat. Gray curly locks hanging down his back. That's John, I love him. Oh, John, where you gone? Where you gone with the good old songs? John, John, I miss you, John. Whoa, played music, but this wasn't right. Hey, there's no harp and we're out of sight. Out in the gang doing the best we could. Ah, nobody could play that harp the way John could. Me and my buddies, we laid the steel just for the sake of those rolling wheels. All right, Gypsy John.
Hey, Mark. Oh, that sounds great. it impresses me. I mean, I haven't, I've always wanted to travel the United States much more than I have. And you told me earlier this evening you lived in, you visited 48 states.
48 states, yeah, there's a couple I missed. I missed the extremities of Florida and Alaska. You never know, I might click those off one day. I don't know.
Which, how many states have you lived in?
Oh, boy, at least a dozen or more. I lived in all the states back, Illinois and New York, Pennsylvania, all those states, Ohio, and out here on the West Coast. And I stayed in Arizona for a while. I did student teaching on the Navajo Reservation. That was quite fascinating.
You have any siblings?
Yeah, I got two brothers and a sister. They're scattered around the country. Pretty typical American family. Let's see, some live in Illinois. My sister's down in Texas, where my parents are retired now, and I've got a brother up in Reno, and I live in San Francisco.
Was it hard for you to travel so much when you were a child?
Actually, when I was a kid moving around, being uprooted from one school, taken across country, stuck in another school, that didn't really bother me. It wasn't until adulthood when I kind of looked back on it and started to realize it made me look crazy, perhaps. But, it was okay. I just learned to take it in stride.
Do you have a place that you look back most fondly on living?
There's some places I really like. I lived in this place called Nelson, British Columbia for a few years off and on. It's in kind of southern B.C., maybe 400 miles from Vancouver, 400 or 500 miles. It's a real beautiful town. In fact, as we're looking at it tonight on the computer, what's that thing called, Patrick, that Google?
Oh, yeah, I was using that Earth program where you can see those.
Yeah, we saw it. That was pretty funny. And we saw also in San Francisco the building where I lived, and had the shadow not been so heavy on the sidewalk, you could have actually seen the people sitting at the cafes right, tables at the cafe right under my window.
Yeah, I was trying to find all the different places Mark's lived on the computer. But, do you want to play another song, or maybe I'll play something from the record?
I got one in mind. this is a really beautiful one. I want to do it. I learned this in New York City a long time ago. A friend of mine, she had been born in Guyana, South America. And later on, I sing a beautiful children's song from there in English. But she then moved to St. Lucia in the one of those little islands in the Antilles. And they speak the Patois French. So I'll sing a verse of this in the Patois and then give the English. Lovely melody and, sweet love song. Just listen to it and see how you like it. Hey, you think his guitar's picking up okay?
I think it sounds
great.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Mwez a plewe, mas a plewe enko. Mwez a plewe, mas a console mon. Mwez a plewe, mas a plewe enko. Do a ale, do a poco vie. I cried a lot, I cannot cry no more. I cried a lot, I can't console myself. I've cried a lot, I cannot cry again. My love has gone, and she has not returned. I took a charm so I could trick my love. Someone told me nothing by force is good. I took the charm, threw it into the sea. If she loves me, she can walk after me. Masa play way in call. Where's I play way? Masa console moi. Where's I play way? Masa play way in call. Do I alle? Do I poco vie? Where's I play way from St. Lucia?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, sweet song.
Yeah, I like that. So, yeah, you feel like playing some banjo, maybe?
Yeah.
All right.
Let me grab the banjo and...
Yeah, Mark came here on the train tonight, so he didn't bring his banjo. He's got to play on mine, but...
Yeah, okay, let's see. what do we got here? Well, let me just play old folk tune. It's called The Girl I Left Behind. You want me to say a word about the banjo?
Yeah.
I want to just tell people a little bit about the style I'm playing here. This is I know it's a very literate community here at Davis, and I'm sure everybody knows this already, but in case there's somebody... See, I'm playing... This is an old-time style, really. It's called claw hammer or frailing, and when you play it, your hand, the position of your right hand stays like in a claw. You don't really move the fingers out. They're kind of half-curled up. You just hold them that way, and you strike down with your fingernails across the strings like that, and then you hit the drum too. So it's a completely different style from more modern bluegrass, which they put picks on their fingers and they anchor their fingers on the face of the banjo, and they got like these tight rolls and syncopated rhythms that they do. It's a way different style. The style I play, clawhammer, goes back to about 1840 when the five-string banjo was put together in this fashion, and the bluegrass style, which is probably more popular now, came into being around 1940 with Earl Scruggs. So this is really old-time banjo.
Yeah, and if Mark had his real banjo here, we'd be hearing a really old-time banjo, because that thing's put together, was that half of it from the 19th century? Something like that?
Yeah, well, I got a couple different banjos in there. Actually, we just take the different halves, we juggle them around, and do the best we can with them.
Well, you know, I might as well say right now, Mark taught me the banjo, so it was a bit felt like it all over again just then, but
the reason I laugh is a little story behind that.
Patrick, who's playing banjo already, came up my store and he's getting a few pointers from me. I said, okay. And then he came back a few months later and he's playing pretty good. And I said, whoa, who taught you how to play? He said, you did. I kind of forgot that. But
yeah, I mean, tell me about teaching music.
Well, I teach kids at school. And what I did with my little music store, I kind of just extended that, sort of just kept on doing the same type of thing, but with, whoever would wanted to learn. Actually, in the shop, I was expecting to get more children, people like that, but ended up with, I actually got more adult students. I teach music in a real, real simple way. Well, I have to, you understand, the students I teach, they're 3 and 4 years old. It's a preschool class. So I put the little ukuleles and the little guitars in open tuning. That means I tune it to a chord. That means it sounds good. Like, this is the same way the banjo's tuned. Actually, I kind of got this idea from the banjo. So there, I'm just playing with one hand. You can hear it. And it's good because this happens to be a G chord here. In my teaching, I usually use an F chord. It doesn't matter. And then once you got your open chord, you fret up at the 5th fret, and then you fret at the 7th fret, and that's the heart of Western music right there. You know, Western music, we only got these 3 chords. The jazz guys call them 1, 4, 5. You know, us down-home guys, we call them G, C, and D. Anyway, yeah, so I can teach anybody how to play real quick in just a matter of a few minutes. And you don't even have to play those other chords. Just play the main one chord in open tuning, and you're in business. I mean, my 3-year-olds, they're just spinning the ukulele around their head, just trying to hold on to it. And I let them do anything they can with it. I tune the instruments up. I keep them in tune so it, you know, sounds good to me. And that way the learners can hear what it's supposed to sound like. So it's I think it's the best way to, at least for beginning. If you want to learn beginning guitar, beginning banjo, start with an open tuning. Just have fun with it. Sing out some songs. You know, my job, and I work in a public school in San Francisco. My job there, most of my students, they don't speak English. I have to teach them English. It's kind of a survival tactic, really. And so the songs that they use, the simple folk songs and things, the children's songs, they work real well as an avenue to, teach kids English. So, you know, we've got about 40 songs, and we go over and over. Hey, you know, I ought to sing one of those right now. In fact, just, you know, let me sing the Cable Car song. This is one of my songs.
Actually, this is a children's song?
This is a children's song. It's about the San Francisco Cable Car. As circumstances would have it, this song was written in Iowa City, but it goes like this. Cable car, cable car, going up the street with my guitar or banjo, riding the cable car. Hold on, hold on, going around the corner, be sure to hold on, riding the cable car. Hold in, there's no sides on that cable car, now you better hold in, you're going to fall in the street, riding the cable car. Oh, cling, clang, cling, clang, the bell goes cling, clang, track goes bing, bang, riding my cable car. And when I take the kids out on the street, you know, the cable car line runs right by our schoolhouse, and the cable car come by, and the kids start going, they start going like this, they go, cable car, going up the street with my guitar, riding the cable car. Yeah, that's how I'm able to have such great success in this business. Yeah, teach them easy and have lots of fun. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Well, should we listen to something? We got a call, so let's put a record on so we can take call.
Alrighty.
This is off the recordings from last summer, and this is with you on the auto harps. This is Jewel's song.
Okay, right on.
Let's listen to this.
On a corner feeling blue, lady walked by with high heels shoes. She walked by with her head held high. I cheered up and I give a sigh. Oh, put on your high heels and your silk scarf so fine. Go downtown and drink your fancy wine. Well, I wouldn't trade any of my brown bread and my tea, or the ragamuffin muffler that my grandma made for me.
dance, dance into town. He got his collar turned up and his hat pulled down. Cash his check and he goes on a spree. Loses all his money, just like me. Sunday morning, early and soon, the gander dance is gonna cry this tune. Sunday morning, early and soon, railroad man is gonna cry my tune. Cry! So listen, my friend, whoever you are, never go to work on the CNR. Work all day, just lay on that track. Chack-a-lack-a-lack like a break your back. Sunday morning, early and soon, the gander dance is gonna cry my tune. Sunday morning, early and soon, the gander dance is gonna cry this tune. Cry it! Hey, listen, my friend, whoever you are, don't you never go to work on the CNR. Work all day, laying that track, chack-a-lack-a-lack, broke my back. Sunday morning, early and soon, the gander dance is gonna cry my tune. Sunday morning, early and soon, the gander dance is gonna cry this tune. All right, gander dance.
That was Mark Johnson singing was a Jewel song, or Standing on the Corner Feeling Blue, also Gandhi Dance, in addition to that. And Mark's in the studio tonight. If you're just tuning in, this is Dark Knight Blues on KDVS. I'm Patrick Ferris, and you may have heard Mark Johnson on a previous show last quarter when I played some of a selection of the recordings from last summer from the Golden Gate Musical Preservation Project. And also I played songs from his own recording project from the Pacific Gap Folklore Center. A wide variety of those. That was a pretty interesting show as well. So he's here in studio finally. We've worked it all out, and we just actually got a request for the song Pontiac's Dream. It's a banjo song.
Yeah, this is an old hitchhiking thing I tell. I was just standing somewhere in Michigan, and that's where Pontiac was from, and I just had my banjo. You know, a lot of times I'd have my banjo hanging over my back, you know, just on the strap, and when the wind blows through, blow right through the strings and like make an Aeolian harp make a beautiful sound just by the wind activating the strings. Anyway, so I was just, it's just a little picky piece, kind of really. Breaking into a little butterfly love here. The real name of this song is called The West Edge of Denver, which is where I wrote it. This song is not for thee, it's for the butterfly flying free. Not even there when I saw the butterfly floating through the air. I was sitting just a picking this song when a black and yellow butterfly came floating along. There's green grass beneath, blue sky above, purple flowers in the grass is the butterfly love. No, this song is not for thee, it's for the butterfly flapping free. Not even there when I saw the butterfly flying through the air. All right, butterfly love.
Yeah, I like that. So I wanted to talk to you about this walk.
Oh yeah.
I've been reading your book here and. It says that you walked from North Carolina to Santa Monica.
Yeah. Well, that's a long time ago. Let me explain a little bit. See, this is I walked across the United States in 1969, somewhat younger man. I've been working in a psychiatric hospital in New York City for a couple of years, and, you know, I was a little kind of fried from that. I need a vacation. So I figured I'd walk across the United States. I figured I'd take care of the problem, kind of give me time to calm down and chill out, you know, stretch my legs, so... So that's what I did. It was, you know, I had money with me. I saved up money. That's the most important thing if you can travel like that. And, you know, I had a blanket, slept out on the ground most nights. You know, back in those days, it was real cheap. I mean, you get a meal for a couple bucks. It's not like now. Anyway, yeah, so I walked. I walked these small roads, small highways for the most part. It was a real beautiful thing to do. I enjoyed it because, you know, the country's pretty good size. It's a good enough size that, I mean, I really felt I could stretch out my legs. And, it, you know, I knew I wasn't going to bump into the other coast right away. That took me about 4 months. I wasn't particularly trying to go fast or slow or anything. I was just going. It took me about 4 months. I mean, I kept a good clip up, but if a guy wanted to do it faster, I suppose he could, but boy, it wouldn't be as much fun. I was walking. Well, actually, I never spent more than two nights anywhere for that 4 months, and I was hitting like 30 miles a day once I got my stride up. It was a good day. It was 30 miles. So I actually averaged over 23 miles per day for the 4 months, and I wrote all this down. I think it was 3,014 miles from Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, to right by the pier there in Santa Monica, where I jumped in the ocean.
Well, did you encounter anything along the way?
I tell you, back east, like the United States, Kentucky, and those states in there, I'd hit the, they're laid out about, those counties maybe 25, 30 miles big. And the county seat's usually right about smack in the middle of the county. So for a long time there, I was hitting the county seat town every day just around noon. A lot more people back east. You get out west, it thins right down. Like at that time, 1969, you know where Utah, they got that I-80 goes across southern Utah? Well, at that time, the road was graded. The road bed was there. It wasn't open for traffic or anything. They were still working on it. So there's from Green River, I walked across the stretch there over 100 miles. It was basically, I saw a couple construction guys, but but it was real, real sparse out there. Beautiful country. You know, I'd hate to say I'd almost be afraid to do something like that again. I know the country's changed so much in, these last 30 years, 40 years, whatever it's been. But, I would recommend definitely, actually, if you have time and resources, walking is the best form of transportation. I can't see anything being better.
What, more than hitchhiking?
Oh, yeah, because walking, I mean, you don't fly by the field in a car. You get to look at every leaf. Yeah, no, walking's real good. I certainly enjoyed that. Yeah. I'm glad I did it when I was young because I'm not about to do something like that now.
you told me earlier tonight about the hitchhiking log that you made.
Well, I'd always write down how many rides it took me to get from one place to another. So, I scribble those in my journal and things. So a few years ago here, I went back, I did research on myself, and I researched all my old files and those journal books and all that stuff, and came up with, I just wrote the log of, where I went, when I went, how many rides it took. So, it's all over the map, just here and there, and I got 20 pages of that stuff. It was small type, too. It got to be almost too much. I guess you'd have to say it. I was hitchhiking too much there for a while. I had to cut back. But it was real good. For 20 years, we had a great time and had a lot of fun.
And what do you think it is that has driven you to travel so much?
Well, like I say, I grew up traveling, and it was just sort of natural for me. Both my parents were from the Midwest, and they hadn't, before my dad got in the Navy, neither one of them had traveled much. But, what's that song I said? Once you get the Roman fever, you never want to settle down. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but this modern day age, day and age, everybody listen to my voice right now. I'm sure a lot of you people have traveled a lot, and you're going to travel more. It's the best education, that's for sure. The best education anybody ever gets is travel.
Why is that?
Well, you get to see so much, learn so much. I mean, you know why? Because you yourself are in a different position. You're maybe not exactly vulnerable, but, you're out of your own circumstance. The things aren't, you can't just rely on the ordinary. You can't rely on your daily routine. I mean, there's no routine. You're suddenly in a different city. I mean, everything's different. I mean, it's, in a way it's the same, but of course it's different. And if you go to a different country, it's, like I say, I lived in Canada about 3 years, and that country's so similar to the United States, but there's a lot of differences, important differences, and it took me being there for a while to understand a lot of the subtleties. the difference between these two countries.
You said once that what's interesting about hitchhiking is that it's sort of I don't know what the word, proud and sort of demeaning at the same time.
I don't know if I said that, but that yeah, that's true. I know I never felt demeaned by much. I don't know. I would be irritated if I had to wait too long for a ride. That was the only thing. But, you know, an experience like that, it's you're meeting so many different people. I mean, you're in one car and out of another car. You know, one car, a guy's handing you a beer. Next car, the guy's preaching at you. It's just astounding. You got to put up with all kinds of different things. You know, people. They either want to talk and they want to tell you all their stories. You know, they just want to have somebody to listen to them. That's why they picked you up. Or sometimes they just want to hear you talk. You know, to humor them. It's
which do you like more?
A little bit of both is good, Patrick.
So, but what's the proud part about it exactly?
The proud part. Well, the proud part of it is, man, you can travel long ways on almost nothing. I mean, sometimes I take off. Go hitchhike across the country. I'm gonna add $10 in my pocket, you know. But it was possible. At least back in those days, I realize, you know, our society's kind of changed and the roads are different now. And you know, the cars are speedier. They don't really have time to slow down. And gas is so expensive now. You know, you'd have to figure out how much it's gonna cost to give a guy a ride, that kind of thing. Anyway, if anybody out there got some gumption to hitchhike, I'd say go ahead and try it. Have fun with it.
Should we, you want to play another song?
Yeah, let's see. Maybe I'll grab my guitar here.
Yeah, sure. I'll take the banjo.
I'm not sure what to do. Let me sing a song for you I learned in Canada. Anybody heard this song, please call up Patrick right now and tell him where you heard it
I'll
from.
I'll give you the number. It's 530-754-KDVS or 752-2777.
Yeah, I learned this song from a couple of winos in Kamloops one time. Let's see if I can remember how it goes. I'm just a poor bachelor that never did wed, so please don't feel sorry for me. I'm always complaining it's too cold in bed. What can a bachelor be? Drink to the girl I never did find. Drink to the dreams of my own. Drink to the girl I never did find as I go drifting along. No tender young blossom to hold in my hand. No tender young dreams of my own. I get my supper right out of the can as I go drifting along. So drink to the girl I never did find. Drink to the dreams of my own. I drink to the girl I never did find as I go drifting along. All right, the bachelor song.
That's cool. Well, let's see. tell me about some of the instruments you play.
Oh, instruments, musical instruments.
Or the types, like what sort of...
What's your question, Patrick?
Well, both, I guess, actually. I guess tell us about some of, you know, the actual, the instruments physically, I guess, but also what did you learn to play? When did you learn to play?
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, when I was a kid, I loved to sing. I always did like to sing. Church, school, Sunday school, Boy Scouts, at home, anywhere. My dad would sing in the car as we're, you know, going down the road. And, oh, my dad had some funky songs, too. It was pretty amazing.
Are you the only musician in your family?
My brother plays guitar some. My sister got real good on piano. I don't know how much she plays anymore.
But neither of your parents?
No, they didn't play. Mom played a bit of piano. And actually, in later years here, Mom took up the Appalachian dulcimer. It's kind of sweet. But I started with the trombone when I was a kid in school, you know, elementary school. And that was okay. And it got better when, by the time I was in middle school, I had one of my friends start show me how to play more of a folk style, just hear the melody and, you know, just fake it on the horn like that. That was good. And then in high school, I had a couple friends of mine give me an old guitar, and I started with that. And I saw right away that this was going to be great because, you know, I already liked to sing. And I thought, man, I could sing with a guitar. This would be so cool, you know, because, you know, it's trombone stuck in your mouth. You can't really sing. So I started with a guitar, and then a few years later, maybe, you know, 4 or 5 years later, I got an auto harp. Took up the auto harp, lovely instrument. You just heard a little piece of it here a bit ago. And then maybe another 5 years after that, I took up the banjo. I play the five-string banjo. And I love that instrument a lot. The first banjo I got was actually a fretless banjo. That means it doesn't have any frets on it, so it's smooth. Like, you hear that click when I slide up on the guitar string? That click means you're going, your fingers running over those frets, those little metal things on the fretboard. Well, so the fretless banjo doesn't have any of that. It's actually like a violin, no frets. So you can really get these cool slides, and it's really nice for that. Then I got what I call an automatic banjo. That means it has frets on it and real easy to play. You just plump your hand down and you're right there. It's a lot easier to play. But mostly what's on my mind now and what I want to share with people is about a year ago, I started taking guzheng lessons. Now, the guzheng is a Chinese traditional instrument, big, long thing, about 5.5 feet long, wooden instrument. It's got strings on it. The one I have is a 21-string guzheng. It's real popular right now. They have other instruments with different number of strings, maybe 26 or, various numbers. But 21 strings popular. I'm taking lessons from a very good musician. We're studying traditional Chinese music. It's pretty hard for me because it's not my culture and I don't really know the tunes. I mean, the other people in the class say, oh, I know that song. I've heard that song before. My dad used to play that on the radio. Well, I don't know the tune, so that's hard. But it's a pretty lovely sounding instrument. It sounds harp-like. And I'm,
We've heard it on the show, actually, on that. We have a recording of you playing it on that Pacific Gap Folklore.
Oh, boy, but that's not much of a recording, I tell you.
Well, I don't know.
I'm glad you got it here, Patrick. They got this numbering system, and so you have to look at the numbers. You have to read the music while you play it. Well, that's not really the way I learned folk music. Folk music, you just kind of learn the song and the chords, and you just get into it. But here, like my teacher will come around and tell me I'm, using the wrong finger on that string, that kind of thing. You can imagine what I think about that. But she's really a wonderful lady, very good musician. And I'm starting to play, American folk tunes on it. In fact, I'm playing Mexican folk tunes on it now. And it sounds quite harp-like. It's a beautiful instrument. I would like to see it get more popular in American culture. I think, I'm not a jazz musician myself, but I think it would sound real good as a, if a good jazz player got a hold of it. Or like I say, it sounds good for folk music, too. So it's I'm working on that. It's coming slowly for me because, I'm a little bit older and it's hard to learn something new, but lovely instrument.
And who is that singing with you on the recording?
That's I call her Su Lin. I can't exactly pronounce her Chinese name, but my sister's name is Su Lin, so that's close enough for me. Actually, she sings on there, and she's taking guzheng lessons. Boy, she's already surpassed me, but she's a lot younger, and she just came from China. And, she knows the music and things. So actually she's helping my teacher doing some tutoring with some of the little kids.
Do you mind if we play this recording?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Yeah, so this is
this will give you a bit of an idea what the guzheng at least sounds like.
We'll be right back.
Yeah.
That's not the recording. I guess the track listing's off on this. Let me find it. Let's see. It could be Does it sound like it? Here we go.
There's the guzheng.
Yeah, that's right.
G-U-Z-H-E-N-G, or some Cantonese pronounce it, gao zhong.
That's a beautiful instrument.
Yeah, lovely instrument.
Yeah, and I'd play more from this recording, but I already did on the show. It's It's really a terrific record.
Yeah, so everybody, I want you to go out there, check out the Guzheng, and especially the guitar players, take up a Guzheng, you know. Buy one for $600 or $700 is a good investment. Lovely instrument.
Yeah, there's one track on here I keep trying to communicate to you. I finally found it. It's the Guitar Improvisation. David, you remember that track?
Oh, yeah.
That's the one that just hits me. I can't.
Yeah, he would be so happy to hear you say that. Fact is, when I put him on the CD, this is a young guy's early 20s, neighbor of mine, actually. Fact is, I had him in school years ago as a kid when he was in the third grade. I was a substitute teacher in his class for a while. Anyway, he's a very nice guy, and I told him I put this recording on the CD. He was really flattered. He said, "Oh, man, I'm surprised I made it on the CD." I said, "Oh, no, it sounds good."
Was he playing a normal guitar on that?
Yeah, I think, no, it's a regular guitar. I think he's got in some, I'm not sure where the tuning is.
Yeah, that was a beautiful recording. Should we play it?
Yeah, we talked about it. It's real short, but it's awful sweet. It's picky little guitar thing. I believe it's an open tuning he's using.
Yeah, it's the one right before that one we just heard. So it should be this one, I guess. Should we try it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I gotta admit, that puts me in a mood to finger pick. Let's try one here. Freight train going so fast. Freight train just clicking along so fast. Please don't you tell what train I'm on. All they won't know which way I've gone. When I die and go to my grave, no more good times than I crave. Just place a stone at my head and my feet. Tell them all that I've gone to sleep. When I die, just bury me deep down at the end of Old Chestnut Street, so I can hear that number 9 as she goes rattling on by. Go ahead and rattle now. Freight train, you get me high. Oh, one of these days, turn that train around, ride it back to my hometown. Let's go. Freight train, going so fast. Freight train, going so fast. Please don't tell what train I'm on. Hey, they won't know which way I've gone. Right, Freight Train by Elizabeth Cotton.
Yeah, nice. You should play another.
Well, you know, I mentioned that I wanted to sing this children's song from Guyana. Oh, it's so beautiful. It's called See the Moon in the Harbor. See the moon in the harbor was my mother's moon before. See the moon in the harbor was my mother's moon before. And all little children, come and play, come and play, while the moon is shining bright. All little children, come and play, come and play, while the moon is shining bright. It's short but sweet.
Did you learn that from your friend?
Yeah, I learned that from this friend in New York City, the same one I learned the Moisés play away from.
DeForest had a funny story about New York City. He had a song whose rhythm he claimed came from when he was sitting on the rooftop with a friend of his, and the air conditioning unit coming up was making this crazy rhythm. So he wrote a song with the rhythm of that machine.
Cool.
That's funny. Yeah, just if you're just tuning in these last minutes, this is Dark Knight Blues. I'm Patrick Ferris here with Mark Johnson as my guest. Mark Johnson recorded along with DeForest Wiggins, as well as Willie Jackson and Ted Everett on the Golden Gate Musical Preservation Project in North Beach just this last summer. And hopefully we'll do it again this coming summer.
Looking forward to that.
Maybe we'll find some more people.
Yeah.
I already
got a few people lined up, Patrick.
Yeah. Maybe that man David, too, that guitar.
Yeah, he would love to record for it. He'd be very flattered that you enjoyed that piece.
Yeah, I'll hear some more.
We get time for a couple more, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to do this Gypsy John song. I learned a song from Gypsy John called Where the River Shannon Flows. No letter I'll be mailing, but soon I will be sailing, and I bless the ship that takes me back to dear old Aaron's Isle. There I'll settle down forever, and I'll leave the old sod never, and I'll whisper to my darling, will you take my name ashore? Where the dear old Shannon's flowing and the three-leaf shamrock grows, where my heart is, I am going to my little Irish rose. And the minute that I meet her, with a hug and a kiss I'll greet her, 'cause there's not a calling sweeter where the river Shannon flows. All right, to the memory of Gypsy John.
When's the last time you saw Gypsy John?
Oh, man, that's a long time ago. I'm sure he's long gone by now. You know, I left Vancouver. I was living in Vancouver in 1973. I left there and never seen John since. You know, he's quite a guy. I could tell you a lot of stories about John. He played harmonica real good. He played straight harp. I don't think he knew how to play blowed across to play blues. He didn't play that way, but he played real good straight harp. And it's true, he'd pump up his leg, get it going like that. And I love, you know, I sang in the verse in that song there a little while ago about, I asked him how did he learn how to play that thing. He said when he was a kid he tried it, and then he said people told him it sounded good. And to me that's real important, because it gave him, you know, the encouragement that he needed to keep going. It probably sounded lousy, but you know, somebody said, oh, it sounds good, John. So, you know, he kept going with it, and, you know, with encouragement, he got onto it. Which, of course, you know, I'm a teacher, and that's the same thing I have to do with my students. You know, we make recordings of the kids right there in the classroom, send the little cassette tape home with them to, you know, try to get them to sing the songs at home with their family. So,
all these tracks from Mark's CD here are recorded on these sort of stereo directional mics gone into an old tape deck, and they really have a... I like recording with individual equipment, you know, unique equipment, because it has its own sound.
Unique equipment.
No, that's no euphemism. No, I mean it. Same way with the studio here. You know, these are good microphones. They're not recording microphones. You get a very nice hum about them.
Uh-huh.
It sounds completely different than
They look
else.
Really good.
Well, they look impressive, but you know what I mean. They're not recording condensers. The same thing with your studio. It's
right.
got something about the combination of the tape and the microphones and the sounds of cars rolling by through the glass.
Ambient noise in there. Let me tell you, this one guy, Michael, came up and recorded my studio, and he loved it because he recorded quite a bit, he claimed. And he said the way I had the mics kind of hanging in the middle of the room, maybe the wall was maybe 4 feet, 5 feet back from the mics, he said that's great, because he says the sound is bouncing off of the wall and coming into the back of the microphone like that, which, I mean, it sounds like a bunch of nonsense, but who knows? It was pretty cool.
It sounds just as good as the, you know, seven microphones we put on you or whatever. You're into, like, every part of your
anatomy, yeah. I will admit, when Patrick went to record me last summer, he actually had a microphone. Let me tell you people this. He had a microphone near the fretboard of my guitar, so it picks up those little individual squeaks like that, which I thought that was pretty funny.
We got time for one or two more.
Okay, well, I definitely want to do this one. In fact, I got a couple quick ones here. This is one of my original songs. This is called "The Son of the One Who Lived." For anybody's family who came to this country from somewhere else, whenever. I'm the son of the one who lived from across the ocean, thought he had something to give, and I'm the son of the one who didn't die on the way, thought he raised a family, decided to come to stay, and I'm the son of the one who lives. Oh, a long time ago, in a far ways away, a lot of wooden boats started heading this way. Half of them never made it, that's a fact. Ah, but the other half, we never went back, and I'm the son of the one who lived. You ain't alive today, not unless somebody didn't make it somewhere along the way. And we all know it's a mighty thin thread, ah, but if it wasn't for that thread, you'd be dead. And we're the sons and daughters, the ones who live. Across mountains down to New Orleans, just keeping out of the way, people are mean. I haven't exactly made up all of this song, guess I'm just gonna have to make it up as I go along, cause I'm the son of the one who lived. Here's a little travel history for him. In 55, we came out west, out where the living is best. Most of the family's done moved away, yeah, but I'm in the west, I'm in the west to stay, cause I'm the son of the one who lived. I'm the son of the one who lived from across the ocean, thought he had something to give, and I'm the son of the one who didn't die on the way, thought he'd raise a family, decided to come to stay, and I'm the son of the one who lived. Son of the one who lived.
All right, well, I guess we should call it a night then. That's all right with you.
It's almost gone. It's almost gone. It's almost gone. It's almost gone. It's too darn bad. It's too bad. It's too bad. Well, she's almost gone. This little song, this little song, this little song, well, she won't take long.
Oh, keep going, keep going.
Oh, that's the end of it.
Oh, that's the end of it, all right. Well, I guess that is the end, then. Thank you so much, Mark, for coming on my show.
Oh, you're welcome. Nice to be here. Thank you so much, Pat.
Really appreciate it. I hope you come back.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to this summer. We'll record some more.
Great.
And looking forward to hearing the rest of those recordings.
Yeah.
I'll play them on the show as soon as I get a hold of them.
Yeah, I'm going to have some more CDs for you soon. Really wonderful. So many people came and just happily donated songs to share with everybody else.
This is Mark Steven Johnson, everybody, from San Francisco and from everywhere.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you very much, Mark. So we'll catch you all next week. Thank you for listening, and have a good night.